Is how do I get my prayers answered? That's one of the number one questions that have been asked me, and particularly, but not just uniquely, but particularly from new converts and people that are new in the Lord. But I've also had older people, people that have been in the Lord a while, that say, I just don't feel like I'm very successful with my prayers. And you know, I've been preaching for a long time, for how long has it been now? 65 years, is that right? 55 years, however many. 55 years. And not one time in my life have I ever picked up the phone on a Wednesday or a Saturday night and called a friend of mine and said, do you have anything I can preach? That happens to me every week. I have pastors call me every week. Pastor, you got anything I can preach? I can't comprehend that. Pastor Brandon really thrives on series, and I love series, and I love him to do the series. And actually, this past Sunday was actually a revelatory message. That's just amazing, Pastor Brandon. I don't know how they get that, if they can get a CD or they can pull it down, but you need to hear that message. If you weren't here or you're watching and you missed it, Pastor Brandon's 11 o'clock message this past Sunday was life-changing. I will never, ever think about an airplane or think about the airport or think about worship. Those three things, every time I think about those three things, I'm going to think about that sermon. That's an impacting sermon. Thank you, Pastor Brandon. And your preaching is changing my life. Thank you very much for that. But I just never did. So Pastor Brandon thrives on these series, and I enjoy his series, and I enjoy doing them some. The only problem I have is things get backed up on me. Like anytime I'm doing a series particularly, I've always got three or four other messages I wished I could preach, and there's just not enough time. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, if you can come to church seven nights a week and stay for three or four hours, we're going to get this thing taken care of, all right? But seriously, turn with me to the Word of God. Mark chapter 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, you want to stand with me? You may. I'm not doing as much standing as I could. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. I'm going to let you be seated because this next verse, I want to spend a little time on it. You may be seated. I told Brother, I think it was Brother Joe or somebody that one of our security guys with me the other night, I said, you just got to be careful what you do, because so many things that we think are scriptural, spiritual, are just traditions, and different generations teach different things, experience different things, and none of them really have a scriptural basis. It's just what the generation, and so I've been on a tear because every preacher's not wearing a suit. I've been threatening that I'm going to start wearing a tuxedo, maybe with long tails, every service, just in a response to people that dress down. And then I've been on a tear against preachers that sit down when they teach. They sit on a stool and teach. And so I've been through all of this, and lo and behold, in the last 2 months, everything that I've talked about, I've had to do. And I don't think the Lord broke or severed this tendon, but he might be using it to teach me something, and that is just stay in your own lane and do it the way God told you to do it. Let everybody else do it the way they ought to do it. Amen? And I think that applies not only to preachers, but every one of us. Stay in your own lane. God's going to talk to you about something that he doesn't talk to me about. Amen? Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father, he's talking about people that pray with tremendous repetition, the verse before that. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Now that's kind of a strange verse. If the Father knows what you need, why pray? And there's a lot of people that believe, I've had people actually tell me that. I don't pray much. God knows what I need, and He'll give it to me. The only problem with that is that Jesus told us, he spake a parable unto them to this end. This was the object of the parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Apostle Paul said, I pray without ceasing. So just because God the Father can see your need, he can read your mind, he can see your lack, he knows what's going on in your world, and he knows what it is, does not mean that you should not have an effectual and effective prayer life. The pinnacle of prayer, this is something different that I'm going to share with you tonight. It's just something that I've learned personally, and I've never shared it from a pulpit, but it's something that I've learned. The pinnacle of prayer is when prayer ceases to be a plaintive petition. He said, David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. But he didn't say, I've never seen the righteous prayerless or not praying for. He said, I just didn't see him begging bread. It tells us that begging bread is not an appropriate prayer type. And begging bread is the most prominent prayer that Christians pray. They don't pray until the doctor says, I can't help them, and their mother-in-law turns them down for her last loan, until their wife says, I can't stand you no more, I'm going to file for divorce. They never pray until it's the last resort, and then they become beggars. Beggars are not necessarily prayer warriors. And begging is not effectual prayer. If it was, there'd be miracles happening all over the world to many, many people. Begging is not the appropriate prayer. The pinnacle of prayer is when it ceases to be a plaintive petition, when it ceases to be begging. What is it? And it becomes the voice of partnership. If the Father knows what you need before you pray, what should you pray? You ought to pray what the Father knows. He already knows it. But for some reason, he said, this is not going to be an effectual prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous. It's not going to be effectual until it is a partnership prayer. Until you can know what the Father knows. And you can pray the very thing that he wants you to pray, that he realizes is the most notable and the biggest need and desire in your life. And so that's the pinnacle of prayer. When you begin to pray like that, you're going to see that you will get tremendous results, tremendous results. It's just amazing how God includes us in partnership with him. God so loved the world. He didn't say God so needed the world. I don't want to be ugly, but some of you married that person that you married not because you needed them. They didn't have a better job than you had. They didn't have a better education than you had. They didn't have a better bank account than you had. Pastor Brandon used to say before he got married, he said, you can marry more in a second than you can earn in a lifetime. But I'm not sure that he checked Sister Mandy's bank account before he married her. She's doing pretty good with her writing now, though. It's going to turn out all right, but his motive was pure. Because you shouldn't marry somebody because you need them. You ought to marry somebody because you are hopelessly, helplessly in love with them, and you don't feel like you can live without them. That's the way you ought to get married. The Bible teaches us that. The Bible teaches us that love never fails, but it doesn't say need ever never fails. Need will fail you. And so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. God did not so need the world. And because of God's love for us, he has invited us to be a partner with him. That is an amazing deal. You know, I make considerable amounts of money on these real estate deals. And once in a while, Becky will kid me, and she said, how come that never goes on in my account? And I said, because you are a signer on every account I've got. Pop Hagin was teaching in Tennessee, and he was teaching on the power of the name of Jesus and how the name of Jesus is literally a power of attorney. You know, I signed powers of attorney. I signed one the other day. It was on an automobile that I was sending out of state. And so I just signed the power of attorney. The reason why is I might not be filling out the right forms for that state. But if they've got a power of attorney that describes that vehicle, they can go to that license bureau in any state in the United States with that power of attorney, and they can get all that. I don't have to fill out all those forms. I know there's a lot of people that put a lot of confidence in the forms of religion. I do not do that as much because I've got a power of attorney, and the power of attorney is the name of Jesus. And that's the reason why we pray with him, because we are partners with him. Now, keep in mind, we're joint heirs with Christ. That means the Son of God, but we're heirs of the Father. What that does, that gives us a role of equality with what Christ did on this earth. Remember that. Any miracle that Jesus did on this earth, you are qualified to do because you're the Son of God. Now, you're not qualified to do what Jesus Christ did in creation. You can't make a moon or stars or Pluto. That's out of your realm. But what Jesus did, what did he do? He healed the sick. He preached the gospel to the poor. You're qualified. Why? Because you're a joint heir with him. That means there is an equality there. But now he said you're joint heirs with Christ, but you're heirs of the Father. What does that mean? That means you have an equality partnership with Christ, but with God the Father, you have a junior partnership. And what do you mean by that? You're not bringing much to the partnership, actually. Somebody, when a man gets older and he says he has a law firm and he wants to bring in a junior partner, that guy's usually not bringing much to the table because the other guy's 60 years old and he's already got millions of dollars invested in that law firm. But what he does, he seeks out somebody that he really admires and really loves and brings them into the law firm, and they became a junior partner. You know the reason why you're blessed is because you're a junior partner. And the reason why you're a junior partner is not because you're the smartest guy on the pew. I've said this for years. I preach to people every week in this building and have for 46 years that are smarter than I am. Not better looking, but smarter. You know, they know so many things. So many people have so more much education than I have. And they've done things that I just wouldn't do. And couldn't do. And they're braver than I am. Military people are just braver. God just never did put me in the army because he just knew I couldn't handle it. You guys are my heroes. You're just amazing people if you've served in the military. And I owe so much to you. And so I preach to people that are superior to me all the time. That's not the point. God just called me to do this. Not because I was the smartest or the best looking or anything. God said, I'm just going to make you a junior partner. I said, why would you do that? And God said, because I love you. I love you. I'm going to make you a junior partner. And that's what God has said to every one of you. You got saved not because the kingdom of God could not do without you. There's somebody the same color you are. There's somebody that's got more money than you've got. Somebody that's got more talent than you've got. But God chose you for one reason, not because he couldn't do without you, but because he loved you like Pastor Brandon loved Mandy. He said, that's the one. And so he loves her with an overwhelming love. You've got to be a part of my life. You've got to be my partner for life. And so that's what God does when he saves you. He makes you a partner for life. And if you're going to be a partner, then you've got to learn what it is to share with him. And a man does not want a partner that shows up every day at the office crying on his hands and knees and said, I'm just so pitiful, please help me. He wants to see that young person, whether it's a man or woman, come into that law practice or whatever the partnership is and bring his best things with him and learn with him and become a copy of what he has done to be successful. And that's what the Lord is saying in prayer. If you want to have tremendous power in prayer, and you want to get your prayers answered, don't be a pitiful little beggar. Become a partner with God the Father. Become a joint heir and a joint partner with Jesus Christ. And that's the reason I don't have time tonight, but that's the reason why you ought to take the Lord's Prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. Take that prayer and dissect it. And I've done it many times. I've taught on it. But take that prayer, because it's a paradigm, it's a pattern that all partners should do. And it's not just repeating those words, it's looking at the principle. Every verse is a principle in that prayer, and you learn those principles, and you become effectual in your prayer. You don't see Jesus in that prayer whining and crying. You see Jesus praying effectively, and he's teaching us how to pray. I want to show you this in a tremendous illustration tonight in the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 37. This is a great story. It's a vision that God gave Ezekiel, and it's a vision for Ezekiel. It's a vision for the nation of Israel. It is a vision for God's church and God's people for all times. It's one of the greatest visions that man has ever been blessed to receive. And God gave it to Ezekiel, and it starts this way. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Friend, if you're going to become a prayer warrior, I mean a person that stops death and speaks life, a person that stops sin and releases righteousness, a person that stops poverty and releases prosperity, a person that snatches souls out of hell like brands. If you're going to become that kind of a personal, powerful prayer warrior, you're going to have the hand of the Lord on you. You'll never learn it in a seminary. You won't even learn it in a Bible study. At some point in some time, you're going to have to be alone with your partner, and you're going to have to listen, and you're going to have to mimic, and you're going to have to learn. And so he said, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I told you before, and I read you the text again tonight, how that God is not obligated to answer the prayer of a sinner. All these prayer verses are written to people that are born again and filled with the Spirit of God. And I know in the Christian church, even the great denomination, I think the Assembly of God is the greatest denomination in the world. But they're not as powerful in what they teach as they used to be, but they're powerful in growth. They're building a church every hour somewhere in the world. Every hour, an Assembly of God church is being built in the world. They have now outgrown the Southern Baptist Church in rapidity of church building. It's just amazing. And so they're just amazing. But they used to teach that every believer should be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And it is now becoming much more optional in the Assembly of God as it is in most churches. Just keep this in mind, that everybody from the book of Acts to the book of Revelation that the epistles were written to were not nominal Christians. They were Holy Ghost-filled, Jesus-baptized believers. And so these scriptures that people are trying to claim, they're just like some guy coming off the freeway here and saying, man, you're blessing Pastor Brown. I want the same blessing. I had a friend that told me he was going to take this big church. As the pastor got old and he was his assistant, he said, I'm going to take the church. He said, the Lord revealed that to me. I said, don't say that, because the Lord didn't reveal that to you. He said, I believe he did. I said, no, that's what you want. You want to take this big, it's a building. See, it seats about the same as this without the balcony. It's just a great church. He said, I'm going to get this church because the pastor's getting old. I said, you're not going to get this church. I'll guarantee you don't get this church. He said, why? I said, because this pastor has four preacher sons. Have you ever thought of that? And he said, I'm close. You're close, but you ain't that close. And there's a lot of Christians that are close, but unless you're born into the kingdom of God, you ain't close enough. You've got to be born into the family, or these prayers don't even relate to you, and you're spinning your wheels trying to get things that are not legally, scripturally yours. They are a sign to the believer. So he said, I don't have to answer the prayer of the sinner. But once you get filled with God's Spirit, you're born again, you say this, the hand of the Lord is upon me. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm carried out in the Spirit of Almighty God. That's what the Bible said. Ezekiel said, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, carried me out to this boneyard. He carried me out so I could see what I saw. I started to say this a while ago. The Father, God the Father, just simply has a lot of resources that we don't have. That's the reason why we're junior partners. And the second thing he has a vision that we cannot possibly have because of where we sit and where he sits. And the only way you can get the vision you need is through the Spirit of God. God reveals that to you. And that's the way you become a tremendously effectual prayer warrior is God begins to reveal his vision to you, and you see it as God sees it. And then you know how to pray effectually. That's the when Romans 8 comes to pass and all things start working together for your good. Have you got to the place yet to where you are beyond asking and begging, but you're flabbergasted? You're amazed? I know a lot of people that know about amazing grace, but they don't know about amazing blessing. They don't know about amazing prosperity. I'm just amazed at how God blesses me. I was amazed by His grace when He saved me. I've been amazed all these years how He kept me, but it's just the last several years that I've became amazed at the blessing of God. And He took me from that role of a beggar, begging from the crumbs from the table, and helped me to get the scales off of my eyes where I realized that I was a partner with Him. And if I was a partner with Him, if I learned to pray in His cadence and His words, that's the reason why the Bible said, when you're feeble in that area, the Spirit will make intercession with you. It's wonderful for the Spirit to make intercession for you, but I'll tell you something greater than that, is when the Spirit reveals to you what He's praying about, and you suddenly know, I didn't ask for this. This is the will of God. God is showing me, and I've got a miracle come I didn't even ask for, because it's the will of God. You see, God will not deny any good thing or withhold any good thing from you. God's got bigger plans for you than you've got for yourself, but you are struggling to receive it, and you cause God to struggle because God can't do it for you until you come in a synonym with Him, until you become synonymous with Him and walk in perfect union with Him, and then suddenly all of heaven is opened. And it don't just mean that you can juke and jive in church and feel good. Oh, that was a great feeling. Feelings are wonderful, but you can't take them to the bank. Feelings are wonderful, but you can't translate them to your 13-year-old daughter that doesn't know Jesus. You got to have power, supernatural power. And so He said, I was carried out in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost carried me out. And then He said, He calls me to do this. He calls me to pass around the boneyard. Why is this? God already knew what Ezekiel needed. And not only that, God knew what He wanted. God knew that He wanted a resurrected army, that He wanted Israel to be not defeated, but the strongest army on the earth. God intends for His people to always be the strongest army on the earth. In the last days, we shall be a strong army with banners, the Bible declares. And so this is what He's doing. He's saying, look, partner, I want you to learn how to pray because you don't know how to pray. I'm trying to educate you. Carried Him out in the Spirit. Caused me to pass around the boneyard. He saw the need. Suddenly that need was evident to Ezekiel. He saw what God was seeing. But I've preached on this chapter 500 times. It's one of my favorite Old Testament passage. I used to preach it every revival, and I preach it lots of different ways. But I always had a problem with this. And when God spoke to Ezekiel, He said, can these bones live? God only asks reciprocal questions. They tell you if you're a teacher and you have a question and answers format, don't ever ask a question you don't know the answer for. God, because He's infinite, never asks a question that He doesn't know the answer. When God asks a question, He's trying to reveal an answer to you. Why? Because you're His partner. And you can't pray effectively until you know the answer to the question God asks. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel's still not there yet. Well, God, You know. God, You know. There's no need to always remind God of His wisdom. He knows His wisdom. It's your wisdom that He's questioning. You say, well, I just don't have that kind of wisdom. But you have the Holy Spirit. See, God, you are not limited to your IQ. You're not limited to your degree. You're not limited to your diploma. I told you about the man that baptized me with a high school education, became an engineer in the Bulova watch factory because he was a janitor there, and he was walking by the engineers, and they were wrestling with a problem, and he was an outgoing guy. He stepped up, and just like that, the Lord solved a problem with a watch they were working on, and he told them the answer. He was a janitor with a high school education, and they were engineers with PhDs, and you know what they did the next week? They hired him as an engineer. He eventually went full-time in the ministry, but until that moment that that happened, till the time that he left that factory, he was paid the salary of a PhD, even though he had an high school education, and he was paid an engineer's salary, and he never did tell me, but I always wondered if he ever solved any other problem or he just got the gravy of that one deal. I don't know that, but I do know it happened. And so you're not limited to your degree. You're not limited to your IQ. You're not limited to your diploma on your wall. The Bible said that he would promote you above your fellows. Just because she's the same color as you are, and just because she's got the same education or even more, doesn't mean that she's going to get the promotion. If you know how to pray, God can leapfrog you into blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. I've had people come here, preacher friends of mine, that think they're great preachers. I don't think I'm a great preacher, and I don't think very many other people are very good preachers. I listen to a lot of preachers, I think, he ain't no better than I am, and none of us are very good. But once in a while, I hear somebody, like Bishop Jakes, I'll say, that's phenomenal. Great preaching, you have to have a great mind and a great delivery. One by itself doesn't work. Bishop Jakes has the greatest mind and the greatest delivery. He's like a friend of mine said years ago, he heard Jimmy Swagger preaching in Philadelphia. This was a NFL football player, a friend of mine, and he said, Jimmy Swagger was preaching back in his heyday and said that place was about 20,000 people, and he was preaching and said they were shouting, and I was shouting, and said he started preaching against people wearing shorts. He said, if you're a Christian, you won't wear shorts, and said he hammered on it. And he said, I was just shouting and running. He said, I looked down and I had shorts on. Now, that's a good preacher right there. And so we are not limited by our abilities. Our level is whatever our partner's level is. And that's what prayer does. Prayer takes you out of your IQ and puts you in God's IQ. Prayer takes you out of your limit and takes you to Christ's limit. And so he said, I want you to see this. So he said, can these bones live? God was not questioning him for information. He was questioning him for revelation. Where are you, man? Where are you? What do you see? What do you know? Have you got there yet? And God does that every day of your life. The Holy Spirit is inquisitive of how much faith you have and what you can believe. And if you can believe beyond your flesh, and you can believe beyond your education, and you can believe beyond your religion and your tradition, and you can believe. One of the toughest things we have, folks, is believing beyond our family. Well, my daddy was about this level. You're not your daddy. Your daddy was the most wonderful daddy that ever lived in the world. But you're not your daddy, and you don't limit yourself to blood kin. You only limit yourself to the blood of the Lamb because you are a joint heir. You are a partner. And so he's trying to teach Ezekiel how to pray. Can these bones live? I didn't have the right. He said, well, you know. And so God said, well, let me fix this. Prophesy to the bones. Now, that's what real prayer is prophesying to the bones. How many people realize that when you've got bones laying out there on a table or you got them in a cemetery, that is not a living thing? This is what prayer is about. Prayer is making the dead live. You've got kin folks that are dead in sins and trespasses, but you've got the ability to pray the prayer of faith until those dead bones live. And you say, well, what about your uncle? Well, he's the meanest guy in South Texas. So you don't know whether he can be saved or not? God said, I'm not accepting that. You're my partner, and you're going to pray this way. You're going to pray, Uncle Melvin is saved, and he's an usher. You are going to call those things that be not as though they were. Prophesy to the bones. Prophesy to the deadness of men and civilization all around you. San Antonio is dead in sins and trespasses, but praise God, this is a group of people. If we begin to prophesy to the Alamo, to the south side, to the north side, to the east side, to the west side, praise God, this old dead town can suddenly rise up on its feet. We're not waiting for the Holy Spirit. We're not waiting for a dispensation. We are waiting for those that would say it's all in God. You know, that's what we like to do. We like to pass everything off. Friend, you're a partner. You've got an active role in this thing. Well, in God's will and God's time. God's will is yes, and God's time is now. And God is saying to you, can these bones live? And you're saying, if you want them to, that's not the answer. God is saying, you take this into your own hands and your own prayer time, and you begin to prophesy to the bones. I love that verse, calling those things that be not as though they were. Have no idea. I can't pray about inanimate things. Well, a bone is inanimate at that time. It'll become part of an animal. It'll become part of a human, but it's not at that time. Have you ever really held your checkbook real tight and just talked to it? Just talk to it. Have you ever just taken a part of your body, your leg or your face or your ear, and just take a hold of it, and there's nobody there, and you just pray and believe God and you call in divine health? That's what our prayer partner Jesus expects us to do. Not to beg, not to whine. He wants us to call these bones that are dead, call them alive. I got to hurry. Praise God. Can't be right. It's not right. It's 8:11. Second thing is, God told Ezekiel, if you're going to be a prayer partner, you know, everybody wants a prayer partner. I used to have a guy in school. His name was Ron Odle. Ron was the sweetest guy I've ever met. He's just big, heavy guy, weighed about 300 pounds. And he used to follow me around. He'd drive me to my revival school. I was preaching all the time. I was in Bible school. And Ron was just a blessing to me. He became a preacher. But he would go, he said, what time's your prayer time today, Steve? I said, well, I'm going down to the chapel about 8 o'clock. Do you mind if I go with you and listen to you? He wouldn't pray with me. He just sat there and listened to me pray. Because it was somehow teaching him something. He was getting something. And I know a lot of you got prayer partners on your phone or people you meet. Well, that's good. Just make sure they're good prayer, that they're not gossip buddies. They're real prayer partners. But the greatest prayer partners you can have is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. When you get that thing going, hell can't stop you. Sickness can't stand. Poverty won't remain. Your kinfolks won't go to hell. Why? Because you have got the partners of prayer, and you've understood your role, and you know how to prophesy to the bones. I got to get to this one before I quit. Prophesy to the wind. God told Ezekiel, the wind always represents the Spirit of God in this kind of a context. God is saying, prophesy to the Holy Ghost. Friend, the Holy Ghost didn't come to just make you talk in tongues. Good thing, it's a great evidence. It's a great cell phone. It's a great private line. It's a great prayer language. But that's not the principle for which he came. He came to be the resurrection element in your life. Did you know that the Bible said, and here it is, Easter, and this is very good to know. Did you know the Bible said that Jesus was raised by the Holy Ghost? Praise God. And he said, if that same Spirit was in you, is in you, that was in him, it'll raise and quicken your mortal body. Well, friend, do you think that's a one-time event? You think that you're supposed to pray and encourage the Holy Spirit and speak with tongues and feed it the Word of God for 30 or 40 years for a one-time event? The Holy Spirit is supposed to be a daily participant in your life. And so he said, you've prophesied to the dead, now prophesy to the living. Prophesy to the Holy Spirit. Tell the wind what you want. Oh, wind, blow up on this Ezekiel's dead boneyard cemetery right now. Call the Holy Spirit down. Friend, you have that kind of power when you pray, is to call the Holy Spirit. Say, well, so-and-so just won't receive me. Well, friend, you can send the Holy Spirit. They can't stop the Holy Ghost. It'll go through a closed door. It'll get in and stand by their bed in the middle of the night. I call the Holy Ghost down on people that are not even saved. I do it for salvation, but I do it in business deals. They have no idea. I said, now this is not going to stand. And so I'll just step off a little bit and pray, come back, and I'll say, and like I said, my favorite phrase in business is, I don't know why I'm doing this. That's my favorite phrase when I'm doing business. That means that they have capitulated. That means they're going to give in. That means they're going to give me what I don't know why I'm doing this, but it also means something else to me. It means that the Holy Spirit has got them in a headlock, got them in an arm lock. They can't even get away. I've had so many people, and I've had them to come back a few days later and say, man, I wish we could undo that. Well, like I said, you don't need favor for a lifetime with most people, just 15 minutes. Just 15 minutes of favor with some guy, and he's going to sign the dotted line, or he's going to give you the promotion or whatever you need. And so he said, prophesy to the wind, talk to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost came up on that boneyard. And then I got to close with this. He said they were hopeless. Every miracle starts with a hopeless situation, which births a hopeless person. And that's why Jesus Christ came, because this world was hopeless. But friend, when you become a person that gets your prayers answered, you don't take no for an answer. You do not bury the dead. Oh, Lazarus was a problem for them. How would you like to be the owner of the funeral home that buried Lazarus? You understand that 2 days later, he's selling hot dogs down at the beach because he's out of business. Because the last thing somebody wants is for their family member to come back after they stink. But Jesus Christ can undo the cemetery. He can undo the undertaker's best work. Those things that are dead and gone forever. Hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. Oh, not with a person that knows how to pray with Christ as his junior as his partner and junior partner with the Father. You can say, I've prayed about it. And the car's mine, the soul's mine, the money's mine, the healing's mine. Oh, why? I get my prayers answered. I have people call me and send me texts on a regular basis and talk to me in this church. It's the greatest compliment I ever get. It's not the greatest compliment that I ever got. Was just a few years ago when a sister came down and said, you are a fine young preacher. I didn't care about the preacher. It was that young I focused in on. That's the best compliment I've ever had. Seriously, the greatest compliment I ever have is when somebody has cancer, they have a marriage failing, they just got a crisis in their life, and they call me and say, Brother Steve, will you pray for me? Because I'm confident, and I have confidence in your prayer. That's the greatest compliment that's ever been afforded to me. And I covet it, and I want it to be true more and more, that every prayer that I pray gets answered. Praise God. And ladies and gentlemen, I really believe there's going to be an increase of all good things in the kingdom of God. I've seen some dead people. I prayed for a man in a hospital over in ITN one time, and he was moments away from the sheet over his head, totally unconscious, been there for days like that, and they called me. He didn't go to this church or anything. It was a business deal. And she said, Steve didn't call me Brother Steve because we've been, but she said, Steve, would you go pray for my husband? I know you're a Pentecostal. And she said, I don't know nothing about that, but tell me you believe in miracles. And I prayed for that guy, and his eyes were just, and he just immediately set up and lived for years after that. I prayed for a preacher in New Orleans, or in not New Orleans, in New Braunfels, in the old Nick's Hospital downtown, and he was as good as dead, as the Bible said. And we were in different denominations, and it was the last resort they called me because they wouldn't have let me preach in their pulpit. They wouldn't have preached here because we had different denominations. He's a Holy Ghost-filled preacher, but a different denomination. And religion, it kind of supersedes everything in so many people's lives. So they wouldn't have let me. But they were desperate, and they called me and said, Brother Steve, would you go pray for Daddy? I walked into that hospital, and that guy was about 70 years old, and he was totally unconscious, had been that way, no hope. I reached out and touched him, and when I spoke the name of Jesus, his eyes fluttered open. He lived another 10 years and became one of my fast friends. because he knew what God had done through me. So I've seen a lot of that. But I've had some prayers that didn't get answered too. But I believe as we near the end time, I believe that God is going to increase not only the intensity of our prayer, but the ability of our prayer, the effectiveness of our prayer. But we need to learn how to pray. Study the Lord's Prayer. Listen to what I'm telling you, that God wants you to say what he would say. See what he sees. Speak like he would speak. Call those things that be not. And God wants a part of your testimony, not just to be that you used to be a heroin addict and now you're saved. That's a great testimony, but God wants your testimony to have another chapter to it. And it is, God has used me to deliver other people out of addictions. God has used me to, this is the way I pray. And people get confidence all around you. And you're going to have miracles in your family and your friends and your sphere of influence. And those miracles are going to lead to a big harvest of souls in Jesus' name. Amen? Stand on your feet and give God some praise in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oromaka satala koshatala bokoriaha. Oh, Holy Ghost, have your way. If you're in this building right now and you need a prayer answered in your life, I challenge you to step out of the pew. Maybe it's for salvation. If you're here and you're not saved, if you're a great Christian but you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you need to come. Jimmy Swaggart announced this week that Jerry Lewis, his cousin, and Mickey Gilley, his cousin, they all three boys raised in that little town of Louisiana, all piano players, and they're big drinkers and trousers and big country stars, but they're older. That both of them got saved this week. Jimmy announced that. I praise God for that. That means they're going to have some of my kind of music in heaven. It's not going to be just all your kind. Some of it's going to be like mine. But what I'm telling you is, if you've got a need in your life, your personal life, your body, your spiritual life, your business, your job, your finance, in your mind, you need to come to this altar right now and say, I'm believing God for a miracle. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's your mama or your daddy or your brother or your sister or a co-worker that you love dearly. If you have those kind of needs in your life, I challenge you to step up here right now and let's